Guten Abend, good evening. Thank you very much for coming to our artist talk. My name is Karolina Majska-Gude, and before I introduce our artist, Irena Lagator, I would like to say a couple of words why we are here and how it happened, and I would like to thank you to Kepler Salon for having us here. So since last year, as most of you know, I work at the KU Linz with Professor Monika Leisch-Kiesel as assistant professors, and one of my projects was to curate an exhibition within the ongoing format In Vorbeigehen. And most of you know this format better than me probably because you've seen the previous exhibitions, but the idea is that the artworks are appearing within the space of the building, and this is the one part of the concept, and another one is that the artist is coming to speak with students and with the people who are interested for the artist talk. So it's in a way this kind of complementary discursive and exhibition format. And I was thinking that it would be great also to use the opportunity to get out of the building of KU Linz and use the opportunity of having artists here and open more to the public, especially that in last winter, I was here with another Polish scholar. We were giving a talk, and it was really great exchange and very, very good experience of engaged audience. And I was thinking, when it's such a nice place in Linz, why not to come back with Irena Lagator? So thank you very much for having us here, and I would like to introduce Irena Lagator. Now I will focus on so-called facts because her talk will introduce her practice. So I will just tell you a little bit about her background and achievements. And because of the long titles of her works and a lot of achievements, I will read. So Irena Lagator, she is based in Montenegro, in Podgorica and Cetinje. She holds a PhD in visual arts from the Center for Interdisciplinary Studies at the University of Art in Belgrade. She also works as an assistant professor at the University of Donja Gorica in Podgorica, and is an active cultural actor in Montenegro. She, among many other activities, she participates in activities of the Institute for Contemporary Art in Montenegro. She received many artistic awards, among them 4th Cetinje International Biennial and UNESCO Prize for Visual Arts in 2002. Irena Lagator works are included in collections of public institutions such as FRAG Marseille, Villa Pacciani in Italy, Museum of Contemporary Art in Belgrade, and National Library of Montenegro. She participated in many exhibitions. Just let me mention a few of them. She, in 2013, she represented Montenegro with a solo show, Image Thing, at the 55 Venice Biennial. Other important exhibitions include the Society of Unlimited Responsibility in Villa Pacciani in Italy, and Salon of the Museum of Contemporary Art in Belgrade in 2012, what we call Real in the National Museum of Montenegro in 2008. So these are the exhibitions which I'm mentioning. These were the solo exhibitions. Of course, there were many group shows too. In the 2019, she participated in the exhibition entitled 100 Years of Bauhaus Conceptualizations and the Reconceptualization of the Bauhaus in the Yugoslav Art Space at the Faculty of Architecture and Goethe Institute in Belgrade. And, you know, she has very well structured and interesting website, so if you want to later find out more about this particular exhibitions and her works, I can refer you there because it's right now. I think I would stop at this point, and I would like to welcome Irena and kind of start talking more about the merit of her art. So,
Thank you, Carolina, for this wonderful introduction, and thank you all for having me here. Thank you for at Catholic University and to Kepler Salon as well. We were thinking that to arrange a kind of artist talk in the form of a dialogue, but mainly I will just give a speed to this conversation, and Irena prepared a lot of images, so the idea is to give you overview of her artistic work, and then in more in detail we go during the discussion. So first of all, I would like to ask Irena about the work which she considers retrospectively as this kind of first work, that everything started from this work, and how she would write her own art history, what would it be?
Well, thank you, Carolina. That's really an important question, actually. And to answer it first, I would give just a short introduction in terms of context. I'm born in Yugoslavia in 76. So this means that I grew up in a socialist environment and that I received a socialist education. And that when this 89 shift actually happened, I was in my early high school. So this was an important moment, and even making a decision what to do, what to study. So for me, when the studies issue arrived, I was always wishing to become an architect. But this was later turned out to be impossible because of the war problems in the Yugoslavian region. And when the state fell apart, it was completely irrational to put oneself in a very problematic and uncertain situation and circumstances. So I ended up actually trying out what faculty can I study in Montenegro, which is close to this wish of mine, to study space and to study construction and, of course, aesthetical problems with it, and solutions. So it turned out to be Art Academy, and inside of it, graphic design. But very soon and very quickly, I was very aware of the limitations that graphic design field could offer me there in that moment. And so we speak now of the first half of the 90s. So I went to every department of painting, sculpture, graphic art. And I think that not only me, but many designers did this, because the graphic design, which is, of course, applied art, was, because the Montenegro is a small state, only 500,000 of people, we do not have an applied art academy, nor University of Applied Art, but it is within art academy, the applied art sector. So quickly, I turned out to also continue postgraduate studies. And another important aspect of this context is that Montenegro had, and at that time already, managed to produce three editions of Cetinje International Art Biennial. And imagine to have an art biennial with over 100 participants of international scene, and also international journals and international curators in such a small town of 10,000 people. So what was really going on for us students at that time is that we became aware of influences and tendencies in international contemporary art scene without even learned this in art academy. Why? This is another important moment which I want to stress, because after this Yugoslavia as a state fell apart, one of the first cuttings in economy which we could see was, of course, the issue of translations, the issue of education, and, of course, the issue of literature for the students. So as a young student, we were not aware of what was going on elsewhere. So, also thanks to these editions of Cetinje Biennial, and thanks to the work of a French cultural center, I was given the opportunity then to study 1 year in France. And at that moment, already 2002, the fourth edition of the Cetinje Biennial, and this is the work with which I would actually love to start, had an open call. The title was Reconstruction for this fourth edition. But another interesting aspect to mention is that other editions, like third edition, was called Seeing in the Dark. All editions of Cetinje Biennial were actually bringing to the country from the site-specific works to installation art, but also art that is socially and critically oriented toward the issues, global issues that are going on, and of course issues of transition in which the country found itself from socialism to capitalism. So practically, I applied to this open competition, and my project consisted in a site-specific intervention, which I later called Witness of Time Now, because the theme of reconstruction, I was asking myself, how can I, with art, as a young artist, practically this was my first work as a work, but also first work in the public space. I was familiar with much of situations going on into this transition during the transition period, also because I come from a family of economists, and this gave me another level of education which I was not receiving in the art academy. So I was from also that context very interested in normal life of ordinary people and what does this normality means during the process of transition. So there was a building in one street on the periphery of this small town where even ordinary citizens, when you mention a biennial or anything that is happening in the town unusual, they, local citizens, they were already accustomed to contemporary art and they always said, oh, it must be another biennial coming along. So this is this was like one of the local jokes, but actually it is a very serious issue because wide audience was already educated to receive contemporary influences and critical influences and opinions, which is, by my opinion, very important because of many public art that was produced. And so this project actually has is an intervention in one very problematic issue, in a sense that local citizens and their houses were deconstructed and people were displaced, and to being displaced from this place, they were promised an apartment in this future apartment building. So it turned out that after 18 years of waiting, several apartments of the building were sold out for several times. And it was one issue that was locally very famous and which was, after 18 years, resolved by a Supreme Court of Montenegro. So I was actually here finding these people and photographed them in their local daily activities and works and simply installed their their prints on the open shutters of the apartments which are ready to start their lives inside but could not be started because of these legal cases. And with this idea of how to witness the transformations that the region was going through, I simply asked this with this question of the now. What is happening now and how can one young artist within the context of an international exhibition actually start to talk about this about these problems? This is one of my first works. Then for the edition of the next biennial, fifth one, I was invited to see what has happened now when the people moved in. And I simply, because they knew my project, and I simply approached these people with a simple question. Are you happy now after 18 years of waiting for something that already belonged to you and that was taken away from you by the system, by the transition, and by the instability of the implementation of capitalism in a socialist country? And this is the edition that was published bilingually in English and Serbo-Croatian, where people replied to me with their short stories. How was it, for example, 15 years ago my house was pulled down for this building to be constructed, and what has happened in the meantime, and so on. And this was included in the edition of the next fifth edition of Cetinje Biennial. And this was the last edition of the Biennial. It doesn't exist one, but what was interesting is to tell is that it is one of the youngest Biennial. At an international map of the Biennials, which was done by ZKM in Karlsruhe, this was 27th Biennial in Biennial's history. Imagine now we have them over 100 or even more.
Yeah. So in this first work, you problematize the notion of public in the two ways, as a public space that you intervene in public space, but also a public that you don't want to speak to narrow artists, consumers, just you want to communicate with your art. So can you tell us a little bit more about other projects which were in this way problematizing the public?
Yes. There is, for example, in the same town, when one of the Yugoslavian main brands was the brand for fabric for refrigerators, which was even exported into the United States and so on, and even working today, imagine, after being produced in 60s and 70s. Without damages, without problems. So when this fabric was privatized and deconstructed, the only remain of this was this reservoir for oil heating of the fabric, of the complex. So this is, interestingly enough, in the garden of present-day Ministry of Culture. And when I was given the opportunity by the Ministry of Culture to promote the book, one of my first books about the first 10 years of work, which I did with the Neue Galerie in Graz and Christa Steinle at Karen Bohl-Wischenau, with the promotion of this book, I was asked if I could do an exhibition. And I was then replying to, why doing an exhibition if we have such an interesting object which could be a perfect background for an intervention? And so we did it. This reservoir is made in the 60s, actually, and as a mazut reservoir, it now lost its function. So I saw it as a reservoir of something that is not any longer in the use, as a perfect foreground for appreciation of one of my other works, which is this equation. An equation here written in three languages, in English, Montenegrin, and in German. And it's an equation that actually, for its content, departs from an operating in the international, from 19th century, actually, economic term, means which is a GmbH, that is a society of limited responsibility, meaning if you want to start your private business, you have to start with this, you can start with this society of declaring your company as a society of limited responsibility. And even from the period of residency in Graz in 2006, I have started to reflect on the relation between art and economy and responsibility that we all feel in our everyday existential and economical issues. So I saw this, that in every city, in every country, through fiscal receipts that all of us consumers receive and take away home one copy, also remaining in the shop where we actually do the shopping, every name of the one's own business is actually bearing this title, the society of limited responsibility. And I started to reflect on these terms, what is society, what is the responsibility, and what is the limitation of both. And of course, especially in that transition period in Montenegro, you could see everywhere on streets that nobody takes actually the receipts at home. You could see flying receipts on streets. And so this situation somehow provoked me to reflect more deeper on that level, also because another interesting aspect of how, what paper, and we will see later what kind of paper these receipts are printed on. But for the moment, I was reflecting, what if we inverse this term limitation into something which is not limitation, but unlimitations, and then I understood that during the transition periods, we actually lack unlimitations of responsibility, and that the transition period is really a perfect foreground for limited responsibilities. What we could see in many various, like in the previous building, circumstances. So I felt that the public space is actually one of the important milieu where I could place these ideas mm-hmm. to the public, because simply it must be made visible to wider audience, not only to the on the institutional level, even especially because people during transition period were not so accustomed to go to exhibitions. And in exhibitions in Montenegro, even nowadays, you could see always the same audience. So my target was always this diversified audience, and how to approach a local citizen and even a citizen who doesn't care about art, and how this, if, and this was always my testing ground, if this, what I want to communicate to him, actually moves him to think even critically, then I succeed at least something.
But you also, sorry to bother in, but I'm watching the time, so I mm-hmm. wanted to suggest that maybe you tell a little bit about this topic, about limited and unlimited responsibility, about other works, because mm-hmm. you kind of developed this topic very deeply and in different kind of works. So maybe you show us the panorama of unlimited yeah. responsibility works, and then we can come back to another.
To another, yes, of course. For example, this is also one of the important works which deals with the issue of money and economy through this idea of unlimitation of responsibility. This was in 2007. There was an actual public announcement in ex-Yugoslavian and Serbia and Montenegro, especially, a region, that all the money, banknotes that were bearing the name Yugoslavia will be publicly destroyed from that moment in 5 years, so in 2012. And all the people who possess these banknotes with this word of a state that doesn't exist any longer will be publicly destroyed, and that they can replace them for the new ones, which with the name of the new state, Serbia. So there was an international exhibition, Politic of Images, in the Nadežda Petrović Gallery in the town next to Belgrade, Čačak, and they invited me to react site specifically. So I went, the plan was to went with the curator to the governor of National Bank of Serbia and ask a specific amount of money which could create an haptic object out of money. And I entitled this object After Memory, which means what is our memory of a certain system and state in which generations and generations has felt good, in which education and social security was and had an international high-level standard, and then suddenly, in a short amount of years, this was suddenly gone. And what is this? Is there any after-memory? Is there any after-knowledge with which we could learn now? Out of which we could learn now during the process of transition. And as an ending of this work is actually the performative, we could say, process, in the sense that there was made a promise to the governor that the money will be back to the bank, but not as a real money, but in a form of a work of art. So this idea of unlimitation of responsibility is inseparable, by my opinion, from economical and everyday issues of how we deal on a very small level with our daily responsibilities, first as consumers, then as parents, then as artists also. And I felt this as a perfect also milieu, as an intervention of a language of contemporary art inside of an institutional framework which was not made for art, contemporary art, and this was the Museum of Money, which is still part of the National Bank of Serbia. So the book saving this word, Yugoslavia, is saving certain value, but it also deals with this idea of cutting the value because the money cannot be used, could not be used in this any longer period. And the book can be seen there, and it's done only one edition. So this unlimitation of responsibility for me is absolutely regarding the daily behavior and the daily emotions that we feel between ourselves and responsibility of toward each other. Another work of dealing with this issue is the ordinary school book on squares for mathematics, where I drew the simple pictograms that in our daily, like there in front of the door, signalization signal to us certain important communication, like where is exit, where is help, and so on. So I was wondering if in the given space, you as a normal citizen, you cannot stop transition, you cannot stop system change, you are, of course, given the chance to vote, but then, of course, it turns out that as one, you cannot really do much. And I was wondering, what if a certain number of pictograms is placed in the given space of the square of the knowledge, and if they are peacefully coexisting all together, what happens? And this work is entitled, then, The Society of Unlimited Responsibility. And it is placed as a multiple on this book about the first 10 years of my work. And then it is even transported into another mediums and larger spatial interventions, like here in lithographies that cover the entire floor of one exhibition room, where you could see this peaceful coexistence society existing without harming each other. Or, this is one detail, or in the exhibition in Venice in 2013, where I represented Montenegro with the pavilion of with three spatial installations, where I transferred this idea into painting and spatialized it, so that when you enter a room, you apparently see that there is a white box. But actually, after spending a few seconds already, your eye adjusts to a ceiling enlightenment, and you see that there is a content on everywhere you look around, and on the floor, on the walls, on the ceiling, and the content is precisely this society of peaceful coexistence that actually show us that the world can also exist without conflicts, without competitions, but actually based on mutual respect.
Could you mention maybe the use of the receipts in your work, and then we will conclude and open discussion, and then during the discussion we also will talk about another work. So just...
Yes, I'm glad also to show this work that I was doing in Salzburg, and Hema remembers because she was also partly curating it with Astrid Wege, that I was examining what kind of paper is this paper that I'm given and we are given every day after our act of consumption. So it turns out that this paper is a thermo paper, and that the printing on it is not using color. The print in the fiscal cas is actually using the machine. So wherever I was looking more in depth, studying this material, I was absolutely discovering more interesting theoretical niches. For example, what is a machine and what is the division of labor and what is the industrialization and how it dealt with development of capitalism and transition and so on. And especially when you expose this paper and receipt even at your table at home, you will see and notice that this will fade with time. So there is a wonderful idea of this fading content and of losing the content. That is something that moved me to look more in depth. And then I discovered that actually in every consumer shop, be it pharmacy, library, or whatever, by different laws in different countries, every owner of the limited responsibility society is by law obliged to keep these copies of our receipts somewhere for 5 years, somewhere for 10 years, somewhere shorter or longer, and that this differs from country to country. And this idea of archive is also important there because we are not even aware that there is continuously a growing archivistic content everywhere around us. And of course, then this has another implications toward new technologies and digitalization and actually fourth industrial revolution. But in this work, I entitled it Experiment of the Limited Responsibility Society, because I was wondering what if I show to the audience that this is actually a very ephemeral content. And then it was very visible after a few minutes, the paper starts to change color from white to violet and to gray, and finally to burnout. And this installation was actually a little model of a city. When you come, you see, approach a model of a white city, which is out of portate, which is perfectly standing there, but suddenly it starts to smoke, it starts to produce something, an unexpected content, and then you see that it is an autodestructive content. And this autodestructive idea is very related, by my opinion, to this limitation of responsibility that we are doing every day. So, also, what I discovered furthermore is actually what happened if I buy this empty roll material, which we can buy everywhere in libraries, and change the content. Then I started to reflect about the changing of the content and even on this and how the fiscal machine works, and what if this fiscal machine could become a tool for producing art and not only daily archive. And then I started to program my own articles, reflecting more widely and more problematically and theoretically even on what the content of our daily life is, giving price to immaterial aspects like love, like a wonderful day, or trust, or time. And so the installation could be deconstructed by the audience itself.
So I propose now, maybe you show, even without yet commenting, because we go back to it, a couple of examples of different works with the fiscal receipts, and then we can finish this part of our meeting and open a discussion. And during this discussion, we will come back to the works. And Irena has many other photographs also related to the exhibition at Kaolins. So I propose that this is the work which is also shown at Kaolins, also related to the fiscal receipts. So I propose that we just go through these images so you maybe it will give you better tools for asking the questions, and please don't hesitate to ask simple questions, because we did very, very big overview, so it's difficult to really learn about this practice in details from this short talk. So, like very basic questions are also very welcome, and don't be shy, and it can be also posed in German. So, thank you very much for this part of the talk.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Das ist unser Mikrofon für die Publikumsfragen. Bitte oben ins schwarze Loch einfach reinreden. Und der ist ganz weich, das heißt, den kann man weiterwerfen.
Yes, and I cannot move, so I can only throw it, because I have this. So,
Yes, I showed everything. I'm just now going backwards and forwards and then, with the images.
So thank you very much for this talk. I really appreciate your work, and I think we many do, because we see it since about, well, many months. So my interest is the relation between the spatial focus, Montenegro, and the global world. So I think at the one hand, you work very site-specific. But the question is limited responsibility and so on, and it's a global question. So how do you, for yourself, define this link between the special situation of Montenegro and the global limited responsibility?
Yes. Thank you for your question. Yes, of course, it's always a departure. If it's always when you start to reflect whether you should invest your time and emotions and energy in doing a site-specific project, it's always, I was always asking myself whether it is understandable to a wider audience. And this actually was present even from the beginning, from the first work, because this first work of the local experience of local people was very well received by the audience and visitors and international participants also of the Cetinje Biennial. And this reception then, at the very beginning in 2000, actually gave me strength and somehow experience to try to find those problems and those issues which are locally experienced but can be experienced anywhere. And it's also the case with the apartment building, because this can happen anywhere, also in a developed world and in a world which is stable in it with its system. Or, for example, this is one of the works also that tackled this idea, the idea of property. Property, of course, is something which is common and a common world and a common process, common experience and common memory, common feeling. But look at this guy, for example, who is cultivating his own, maybe the only property he has, a part of his apartment, and it's a simple garage. And it's something completely absurd to cultivate roses, which usually you see this way cultivated in front of an entrance of a villa or of a hotel or for some more representational property. But no, he is a simple citizen from a periphery of the town who is cultivating one very common daily experience of entering anywhere. So everything is important in this context, and you can actually, even if we start from the question whether these garages are legal or not, they are not legal, of course. So this even more was the reason to try to captivate this unlimitation of responsibility toward his daily phenomenologies that he actually tries to even give example to others of his unlimited responsibility, but this doesn't happen, as you clearly see. A part of this plant which is next to it is simply a free grown, but maybe even cultivated by him. Or for example, yes, the idea of this work, which I appreciate also, and recently talked to Carolina, for example, this idea of building a column of certain temple, yeah, a temple as an architectural unit that we know from antique times, where you can deconstruct the content by consuming it, by reading it. What knowledge do we acquire if we are aware that in the in consumerist society and in high capitalism and very well-established neoliberalism, we are automatically living our lives. So this is where I was actually questioning the audience, have we accepted the automatization of our lives through our admitting to be limitedly responsible. And one thing I should not remember is that for me language is in the process of making decision what is important from the global audience. The question of language is very important, of course, and the issue of responsibility now is visible everywhere, in every continent, and especially in the context of ecological crisis and Anthropocene today.
If I may comment to one thing, I would say that you are a witness into something accelerated capitalism, because Montenegro, it's like you refer to this notion of consumerism a lot, and it seems like, okay, we talk about it a lot, but I think you are, it's like a theater of accelerated capitalism in front of your eyes. The architecture is changing because it's not slow process. It's a wild east, basically. So I think that's why this work is so much focusing on it. And maybe you can mention your work about the monument.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
It's the very recent work that Irena did. And
yes. Thank you, Carolina, for this comment also, because it's really, if I could try to also repeat your words, happening at the daily basis before your eyes. You could go into a normal walk and you could, at the beginning, at the end of this walk, notice certain changes if your perception is at a certain level. And this is also one of the important issues I'm trying to tackle behind this idea of awakening the sense of responsibility in the audience, is the question of perception. I mean, there was, of course, in art theory, I was widely reading Rudolf Arnheim, who was saying, I see as much as I know. So depending on how much do we know, we can see. And the daily perception of ordinary people is something very important to me. And so it happened one day that in a very relaxed walk on the coast, I have discovered the situation in which there was a monument to Second World War victims, which was the first on the left, which was suddenly covered by the remainings of the construction site of a tourist-purposed object that was almost finished in the background. And then I knew that what will happen, so I came after 2 months and took another photo. I knew that the monument I won't find it any longer. And of course, after another 2 months, I have reached another situation. What was the reason to do this is that actually before the monument was always there, already there, it was, of course, cultivated, but however, there was a process in which it was also covered by uncultivated plants. And this idea of nature in urban space that we are usually seeing every day and that we are actually not taking care of is a little example, but important example, of a coexistence in another way between human and non-human world, and that is happening everywhere around us, but that we are not any longer, thanks to our automatic lives, automatic living, having the perception of, and that it's actually going extinct next to us and parallelly in the same time of our time. And I also started to photograph these kind of nature in urban space, and then I understood that a situation in which I would confront my visitors with a dichotomic situation in which they could see this natural environment in urban space, but suddenly if they walk around, they could see completely another nature, like another age in happening already in the same age that we are living, has actually also moved me a lot to react more activistically. So I wrote also a letter to the direction of the protection of the cultural monuments of Ministry of Culture in Montenegro, telling them, also because the context was good to do it, because this exhibition was actually 41st exhibition, collective exhibition of the traditional 13 November Saloon of Art, and this saloon was established after the Second World War. So it already happens for the 41st time. So the context was very good to inform through art the Ministry of Culture that actually the monument is gone. And that's why the title is Where is the Monument? But the process is not finished. I have four continued documents in which the ministry responds to me, and then in which we together inform the inspection of the local town, and now we are looking for the monument.
But also, you during this exhibition, you displayed your installation alongside the letters to the ministry.
Yes.
So it's like the work which is going on, and then they send you back the letter, so you have more material. So
that it's a growing, it's a work in progress in the sense also of artistic documentation. Yes.
And if maybe we could say a couple of words about the exhibition that we did in Kaulins, or maybe you have some questions to the exhibition, because last time at Irena's talk, some people weren't there, so maybe somebody would like to ask something which relates for the common good intervention. We call it with Irena intervention rather than exhibition, but maybe it's...
I will quickly switch to the images of the exhibition.
As you can see, it's a lot of work. Maybe also I will show you some books. I cannot move.
Maybe see the book installation once more.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. For Barbara had, where is she?
Here it is.
Here. She had such an interesting comment today at lunch.
You know them.
Because she looked at this installation from the staircase up one level.
Above.
Up, above, thank you. And she said, it looks like if the books were flying. What do you think about this comment?
It wasn't an intention, of course, but it's an interesting observation, and it's an interesting aspect of perception also. In this work, I was wondering how can we actually make public this knowledge of our limitations of responsibilities happening everywhere and on the international level, and even being brought into language which influenced our thinking without being publicly elaborated. So that's why I entitled this work Knowledge of the Limited Responsibility Society. And since 2009, and it was also exhibited in Salzburger Kunstverein, in 2009, it's growing since then. And now that's the idea, that together international citizen receipts and to make a city model. And of course, also it's an interactive piece in a sense that audience can read these books and can see the fading away of the content written inside of it. And another wonderful issue is that on some of the receipts there are colored, printed also by heat, announcements like reclamas, you know, of something that was popular in that period, in that year, and so on, of propaganda for some brands or ideas, actually. So the idea of making publicly this knowledge of our daily limitations of our behavior was the guiding idea to make this work. And this printing with temperature is another reason why this should be a growing working process, a growing city, because especially in today widely elaborated Anthropocene problems and ecological issues.
I just wanted to mention that what I found seducing about your work is this kind of commitment to this idea of unlimited responsibility. I before worked a lot of with no avant-garde art, for instance, and this kind of almost obsessive notion of going, being faithful to some team and trying in many different ways to speak kind of minimalistic statement, but trying to communicate many times this. I was, when we were thinking about doing this intervention in Linz, somehow it became our two points of interest came together because I was researching more environmental art and I looked into all the works created by Irena and I noticed that there is several works dealing with water, with the issue of ecological crisis, and the notion of unlimited responsibility somehow sounded like a perfect metaphor of the contemporary situation in terms of ecological problems. So another way to somehow expand on this topic, and that's why our small exhibition in Linz, which includes four works, this is the one which was created especially for the show, referred to ongoing idea of unlimitation and limitation of responsibility, and also focus on the water issues. So maybe you can say some about this work.
Yes, of course. When I was invited to do an intervention in Linz, of course I understood that I should take into consideration the issue that there is the river that connects our states, and this is Danube. Then I remembered one particular experience of mine from 2007 when I was visiting the dam Gerdap 1 and Gerdap 2, the fourth biggest European dam on the Danube River, which is together constructed between the two states, Serbia and Romania, in the 60s. And when I was inside, I was fascinated by the immense potentiality of this man's will to dominate nature, and how did he succeed in this. And I was given by a technician a film there, a film about documentation of how this, because he understood I was an artist and I was posing many questions, and he then decided, just to make the long story short, to quiet me and give me the film. But it actually turns out that this film was a very interesting film called Iron Gate. So for someone who was interested in the issues of system instability and system transition, Iron Gate film, of course, is a wonderful set of references, because suddenly we are not speaking any longer of Cold War or Iron Curtain, but of Iron Gate. And if you try to imagine where could this gate lead to, especially if it is from iron, then it opens another space of imagination that I was then deciding to take into consideration this film for the intervention in Linz. And then I juxtaposition it with another coast issue from the Adriatic coast in Montenegro, which I discovered in early 2002 to 2004. And this is an opposite, completely opposite behavior after almost 4 decades. So in a 21st century of construction of temporary dams. So how do we deal with human waste? Of course, we dealt in the Danube River with production of new energy. And how do we question the issue of energy if we have to store it somewhere? Do we recycle it in a state which is by the first article of its primary document, an ecological state? So then I started to research this very particular construction of a temporary dumping space. And I discovered a set of layers that actually the waste from two cities, which we see on the photos on the photo on the right, is just put inside the ground under certain conditions of technically construction of this temporary dumping place, which consists, and this is the second work which I did out of the same content, consists of digging a huge hole in the ground, covering with the thick black polyethylene, and then put over the years in this hole the remains of the society, and then just cover it again with the layer of the plastic, and then with the layer of the fertile humus, and then the forest and nature will do its job, just hiding it. What, of course, for an artist, this must become a content to work with, especially when you discover that it's not one, there are two. And then we have to question ourselves, what if they are everywhere? And what if they are in also other countries and other situations? And I did the set of works with this black plastic, this work called Plastic Water, which is a series of these photos, just photographing this plastic surface, which actually looks like a surface of the water, on which actually you could stand. And then in this context, I decided to make a video in which repeating the trying out of making a pirouette, but falling, because I'm not a professional in that sense, falling and raising from this falling, and what knowledge and what meaning can produce this process of constant falling and constant acknowledging of our failures, of our mistakes, of our irresponsibilities. And in that context, juxtaposition between the two constructions from the 60s and after 4 decades in the beginning of the 21st century actually for me raises serious questions of our development of forward and upcoming future if we continue to just simply behave irresponsibly toward nature, toward assumptions of development. And of course, Carolina also in her introductory text made one important note, and that is if neo-avant-garde artist intervention in the nature, then, and you can maybe expand on this wider, then this intervention is actually bringing one new step in the sense that this is not an intervention in the nature, but this is a showing, a making visible what we have done for the sake of the common good. And this is actually the title from the citing. The title of the intervention is citing the sentence in the film, which in the 60s was said when the dam on the Danube was open and celebrated even with the President Tito coming. that it's not a destruction of the nature, it's not a ruining of the nature, it's for the common good. So it's making visible what is actually, why we do common things, what are common things to us, not only positive ones with which we would wish, but also a lot of negative ones, unfortunately.
If I could just briefly add, maybe this is not the most fortunate photo because it doesn't, the installation looks like that, that there is this film, it's silent because it has very bombastic, propagandistic music. So when you remove the music, you see really neo-avant-garde film that reminds me of some land art intervention. And also the both photos of these dams, not only for me, but also for colleagues, first time when they've seen, they were thinking that this is actually the intervention of Irena, that this is the intervention, that she covered the big space, because we are used to land art projects like that. But what I said, that is like a reversion of, yes, it has this critical comment towards politics and economical of the state situation, but also it's critical, maybe not intentionally, like from the beginning of the land art interventions, which are kind of were invasive towards the nature, and her gesture just points to the invasive intervention to nature, which weren't of artistic merit, just utilistic merit. So I found this connection very, for me, very striking at least, but of course it's open to your own references and connections, and maybe somebody would like to ask some question.
I have a question regarding the book made of old Yugoslavian money.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have any problems?
This one? Ah, no, the money.
The book made of money. Yeah.
After memory, yes.
So did you have any problems, I don't know, political problems or anything using this old money? Because you told us they were burned, right?
Destroyed, publicly destroyed.
Publicly, not publicly, I think publicly.
Yes, publicly. Really? It was the public in the bank, of course, but all people were invited to accumulate what money they have, to change it, and for the money which bears the new name of the state, and then, of course, the old ones would be destroyed.
But it wasn't like a burning of the money.
No burning, but making, there is a certain process of it, making a confetti, so just publicly announcing that these banknotes are not having any value anymore from that moment onwards.
So it was in the interest of the state getting rid of all the old money.
Yes, because they were issuing new money.
Did they have any problem with you taking the old money and turning it into art?
No, there wasn't at all. You know, one of the very important aspects in this work is that in the midst of this issue, there is this interesting lady on the banknote. And this is a painter. And this is Nadezhda Petrović, an impressionist painter, a very important Serbian artist who also not only was an artist, but also served as a nurse in the Second Balkan War, before the First World War came. And another important issue that is that in the Balkan region, in the Yugoslavian region, in the Slavic region, this was actually the first woman to be portrayed on the banknote. So for this reason, somehow if you, wherever you turn, you will find art dealing with, in the middle with serious issues or communicating them. So I had no problems, of course, because I tried to envision how can I do the project. So I went to the National Bank governor at a meeting together with the curator of the exhibition, Astrid Vege, and Miodrag Krkobabic, an artist from Serbia, and the director of the gallery, Nadezhda Petrović. And all four of us, we were there presenting an art in process piece, which will last a year. And then we together took this, for example, is 1,800 banknotes per 200 dinars. This is equivalent to 5,000 euro. So then in the middle, in 2007, of course, we went together and with their security to the bookbinder to give this quantity of money because it was really a process how to ensure that the construction of this art piece will actually be safe and that nobody will bring false banknotes. But the other, for me, most favorite part is the bringing back the money to the bank, which is what we do anyway, all of us. We go for crediting systems, you know, and give even our properties to hypotheques and so on. So this all this process, which is very familiar in a system shifts, especially in all Yugoslav states, and this actually led to 2008 economical crisis, among other things also, was actually an inspiration for this whole operation. So the most interesting experience there was bringing the value back after a year of experience after the exhibition experience, and asking the permission that a language of contemporary art can intervene not only in the Museum of Contemporary Art, but in another institution where it was not, which was not conceptualized for, and that is, for example, Museum of Money. So if you go to Belgrade in the street Kralja Petra number 12, there is this museum, and you can see it, you can even touch it. It's then a new haptic aspects appear. The smell of money is also very present, because when I requested the amount of banknotes, one of my specific demands was to use the money which was circulating years before through the people, not the new money, but which was used, which bears this indexical trace also in its visibility.
I think you can see the difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the front,
yes,
there's,
yes,
a new one.
Yes, that's right.
I must say that this object, this art object, always raises the most question, and it's a kind of one of your works which people are very curious about.
Of course.
Yeah? That it's, and also you said that collectors were also asking you to produce,
yes,
to
several,
produce something like that for collecting. Like, this is something...
No, they several asked me if I have more examples.
High demand for the...
For it's the just one example in for this work, of course, yes.
I think there is a question here. Okay. And we have this amazing mic.
Just if I understood it right, the book is now in the Museum of Money in,
yes,
Belgrade.
Yes.
Barbara.
In the prospect of global art, would you say this work would also function in the neighbor states because they had the same notes? Or...
Well, it's no. This banknote was, yes, it was a banknote of a Yugoslavian state when the state had a banknote called dinar until 2002, I think. And then, of course, the new state was called Serbia and Montenegro, and ultimately, after the referendum of Montenegro, it was called Serbia, which is today. But of course it is relevant in the sense that today it's the same banknotes still existing today, only that the word is changed of the states, which is, and previously it was a circulating banknote among others, of course, with different value and with different people also portrayed and their histories. In the whole region, in the whole state.
So the other states had also to remove this banknote.
They did, in importing their own, some imported euro, some their own other.
So they had the same experience of leaving this money.
Yes.
No pressure, we can go and on. Irena can talk from herself, I can ask her question, but we would love to hear also something from you. I know it's difficult if one encounters somebody's practice, just so, but maybe you have some comments, not necessary questions, or some things that you would like to share in respect to the topics that we were mentioning. You can throw the mic. Let's see if it works.
I have a question to the pictograms you have in the book, in the little book. Did you paint it yourself, or
yes,
did
yes.
you get it with...
It's a handwork, yeah. Okay. It's a handwork of 3 months, which I did in 2006 during the residency in Graz.
Okay. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. And then the work was even bigger, transferring this into spatial installation here. Mm-hmm. On the paintings where I first scanned parts of the school book, mm-hmm. and then I multiplied it mm-hmm. until the spatial dimensions of the canvas, mm-hmm. and then I printed on the canvas, and then I added another layer of ink, mm-hmm. painting all these rhythmically chosen figures from the beginning over, adding this another depth of the intensivity in which they are painted, and it is in total 12 canvas, and it's the size of this mm-hmm. room, and even the floor and the ceiling are also covered.
Yes, but let's talk about it a little bit, because it's the only model in your work on unlimited responsibility, right? Because the other works you deal with limited responsibility, and
both.
Here you made a model how it you mentioned that it had. So first of all, there is this a little bit when you said it covered the floor and the wall and the doors. It sounds a little bit totalistic. So can you say about that? And also, what does it mean that what is the relation between this private space, privatized space among these figures, and this isolation between them, and the notion? I mean, it's a model. So maybe first thing that you can read, it's a harmony, rhythmization. But then when you think about this kind of total, utopistic look, a little bit dangerous perspective. So if this is the alternative to unlimited responsibility, to limited responsibility, so our life that we are living right now, me too. So what does model envision? Do you understand my question?
Of course.
Is it
I can share with you one interesting part of the dialogue which I had with German artist Bazon Brock when he was writing a text for the introductory text for this first book of mine that is circulating among us now. He was precisely about this work asking me, because I was deciding to put it on the cover as a multiple, he was asking me, and it is in the text, I assumed that this idea of unlimitation of responsibility comes from totalitarian regimes. Mm-hmm. And is it a postulate or a critique? Mm-hmm. And I answered it's both at once, because you can postulate a harmonious society, and it is obviously what we would need today in our almost extinct world. And it's also a critique in a sense, how could we allow that we achieved this state of extinction of species and of our own future extinction in the Anthropocene? How did we achieve this if our responsibilities were supposed to be of that kind, that we do not harm the one which is next to us, the neighbor, the neighborhood country, the neighborhood continent, and so on? And I was reflecting quite widely, also theoretically, while I was doing this process of drawing the book and of multiplying this harmonious, peacefully coexisting societies on the canvases. And of course, my influences come from the Borean Situationist International, and from Paolo Birno's idea of multitudes, which is actually made visible, that, and also the division of the world of East and West and the Cold War, and how this division of the first, second, and third war, third world is actually happening, and who is providing goods and who is providing workforce. So actually it is a really in-depth research that also brought me to the process of writing. And thanks to this work, I actually wrote my first scientific paper, which I called Doxa and the Paradox of Limited Responsibility Society, because it's at the same time both also. It's doxic, it's imposed on us, but it's also a paradox. We cannot be limitedly responsible if we want, we shouldn't be, if we want to be responsible at all. It's only in the language and in our process of thinking if we perceive what we are writing on the documents, such as receipt, for me is a really important document because it made us visible this idea and it makes it also perceivable. So it's a postulation of a harmonious society that can be achieved only if we decide to achieve it, and also it's a critique of the state that we allowed ourselves to be brought into this newly newly experienced that scientists today define as Anthropocene, for example.
It could be a good conclusion. I think if you don't have any more questions, there is also a couple of minutes that we can just stay here because the Kepler Salon is open until 10 o'clock. But we can also speak in more private, situation, but you know what I mean. In kind of just most, more informal way, not that we sit here and you sit here, we can just talk, more like that. And I also supposed to say that Kepler Salon program is in the Kepler Tribune befindet. No, I didn't supposed to say. I was thinking I was supposed to say something. But thank you so much for sharing with us your precious time in this late afternoon on Monday in winter. So we really appreciate that you came, and I think we both enjoyed very much the exchange, and we can continue like that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.